Just stand as you are able for the gospel reading. The gospel today comes from the book of St. Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 2nd verse. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And Jesus answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is always one of my least favorite texts to preach on, obviously, right? It's also become one of my favorite texts in the Bible. That's kind of weird, isn't it? And I want to bring that out. I want to spend some time today talking about context. And I've actually been spending a lot of time on context in the various things around here at Bethania. Context was the topic of Theology Pub last month. Context was the subject of my newsletter for this month, which has been out, and I imagine you've all read it and are experts on this by now. Context is simply describing the environment in which something is happening. And I will tell you, I think context might be one of the most important things for us as Christians to understand. And I can't stress that enough. This sermon, whether it's good or bad, might be one of the most important sermons I ever preach, because it is my role as a pastor to help empower you as members of this church and to give you tools to be able to read the Bible and understand it as authentically as possible, and then to go out into the world and be an embodiment of that text and of that faith. And we can't do that honestly unless we understand the context of this book right here. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. This book came together in the 4th century of this era. But this book, at its latest, was written 2,000 years ago, and at its earliest, 3,500 years ago. Cultures evolved dramatically within that time. From its very earliest writings in about the 8th century BC, to its latest writings in about the 2nd and 1st century AD. People evolved dramatically in that time. People have evolved even more dramatically from its latest writings to today. This book was not written for us. This book is full of poems and songs, and prose, and stories, and letters. This isn't actually just one single book. It's a library. This is a library of what cultures have put down on paper and papyrus for 1,500 years. And we have it here today. It has been translated into thousands of different languages. every time someone making a choice into how to translate the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek. Every piece of this book was written for a very specific culture, in a very specific time, for very specific reasons. People back then had different values. They had different philosophies. Society had different standards. People were very, very different back then than we are today. And every single time we read a part of this book from our own context, thinking that it was written specifically for us right here and right now, we do this book and this world a disservice. The best thing we can always do as Christians is try to understand these writings in the context in which they were written. And that's been difficult to do because we haven't been able to do that except for maybe the last 100, 150 years. Now, I imagine many of you have gone to museums, to art exhibits, and have seen some very famous medieval and Renaissance period paintings, things that are describing different parts of the Bible, maybe the creation of humanity, maybe Adam and Eve coming together, maybe it's the fall, maybe it's Jesus on the cross. Have you ever noticed, though, that anytime you see one of those paintings, the people in them, the clothes that they wear, the way that they look, even their own skin color, it always resembles the society of the painter putting it down on that canvas. Never did those painters try to paint these people as they probably looked in their actual time. And there's a reason for that. The painters didn't know any better. They had no idea what people looked like back in this time. They had no idea what they wore back in this time. These very famous paintings, these painters didn't have the know-how to look at this book and understand it in its own context. But we have that ability today. I'll tell you, as a pastor living in this world, it's so often that we refuse to do it. That we accept what this book has to say as it has been passed down to us instead of trying to understand it in its own context. And there are massive, massive implications if we misinterpret this book. Because this book has been interpreted wrongly, Christians have done severe damage to our planet, thinking that it's just going to pass away one day and something new is going to replace it. Because Christians have misinterpreted this book wrongly, we have had devastating American foreign policy in the Middle East that has harmed hundreds and thousands of innocent people in various different countries. There is nothing more important for us as Christians to try to understand this book in its own context. And the reason I'm bringing up context today with divorce is because that text right there about divorce has spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years being interpreted wrongly. That very specific text right there, which I don't like to preach on, because even as we read it, it sounds like divorce is bad. And I imagine we have people sitting right here who have been divorced, other people who have been divorced and remarried, who hear this book now telling them that they have committed adultery. But that's not what this book is saying. That is not the context of what's going on here and now. There is a very different context that this particular gospel text comes from. In fact, this is a story of Jesus being a feminist. That doesn't sound right. But we have to understand it in its own context. 2,000 years ago, women were not allowed to earn their own income. The only way a woman could be supported 2,000 years ago was first by her father. If her father wasn't around, then his brothers. If his brothers weren't around, then her brothers. And if her brothers weren't around, then a husband. And once a woman was married to her husband, she lost that economic stability from her father, from her uncles, and from her brothers. It was no longer there. And God forbid this woman's husband died or divorced her, because she would then be destitute. Her only options to support herself would be either to beg in the streets for money or to do something else, which I won't say out loud. And it goes the same with her kids. If a woman had been divorced by her husband with children, those kids were out of luck too. This text has been used for centuries to keep women and children in abusive relationships. Do you understand that? Because this book has been interpreted in a wrong way, it has been used to keep women and children in abusive relationships for hundreds of years, because people didn't understand what they were reading. This isn't a story about Jesus saying that people need to be married all of the time, no matter what. This is a story that one, lifts up the importance of relationship, that we as human beings, we need each other. But it's two, it's another story of Jesus reaching out to the most vulnerable in society and making sure that they were taken care of. That's what happens when you read this book in its own context. That's why if we have people who are married today who are in abusive relationships, this is not telling people to stay married. This is still a story about reaching out to the most vulnerable in our society because of our faith and making sure that they are cared for. Now, that's just one example of context. And that's just one example of how important it is to try and read this book as authentically as we possibly can. And there are so many different stories in here, so many different ways that we have to do it. And I have just simply elevated one of them. So now here's the question. What are you as lay people to do? How confident do you feel that you could just simply pick this up right now and understand it in its own context? I would be surprised if any of you said I would, because I had to pay over $50,000 in 4 years of my life to understand this book in its own context. Not all of you can go off to seminary. Not all of you have the time to study Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek and the history of what was going on when this book was written down. But I'm going to give you two pieces of advice here. One, go buy a study Bible. If you really want to try to understand this in its own context, go buy a study Bible. And if you want to make sure it's up to date with its scholasticism, buy a new revised standard version study Bible. HarperCollins is a great one, but there are a bunch of them out there. They give you everything as far as background, different interpretations, etc. Now, this is starting to sound more like a lecture. I'm starting to sound like Yarmo, so I'm going to transition. The second piece of advice, always read this book with the lens. Always read this book with the lens. And that lens is Jesus. There's a part in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus is asked, what are the most important commandments? And he says, love God and love your neighbor. And then he says, and if you do that, all of the laws, all of the prophets, everything in this book will be fulfilled. If you want to try to understand this book in its own context, first read how God loves you. Always. This is a story of God loving God's people. It's a story of God's people running away from that love. And it's a story of God always, always being there when they turn back. Always. The second piece, though, love your neighbor. The arc of this book is always to care for those who are in need, who are marginalized, who are vulnerable. Back in Jesus' time, they were women, they were children, they were people with skin disease, they were people with physical disabilities, they were people with mental illness. We have some of that today, but we have a lot of others. Because they might not be named in the context of this book does not mean that they are not important in our society. We are called to love one another. We are called to love each other in our brokenness, in our faults. And we are called to love all of those around us, especially those who are vulnerable. That is the arc of this story. That is my piece of advice. That is the lens that I give to you. If you want to understand this in its own context, use that lens. Use the lens of Jesus. Love God. Love your neighbor. And don't go beyond that. As Jesus closes in this gospel today, he blesses children. He highlights the necessity of taking care of the vulnerable by blessing one of them right then and there in front of his disciples. And he says this, that we must become like children to enter the kingdom of God. I love that. I love that. You know, kids get this stuff. I do chapel with the preschoolers and the after school kids every week. The kids get this stuff. And it doesn't take them a lot. And it's not hard. These kids accept without hesitation that God loves them. And these kids are so willing to love each other. Kids get this stuff. For some reason, adults, not so much. I'll tell you right now, we need that childlike acceptance and wonder in our lives always. Not just to enter God's kingdom, but to experience here, today, in this world, always. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.